Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to another week of the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host. I'm excited to be here. Today is March 12, 2016, and we're going to be here for the next 87, 88 minutes. It is a fantastic week. We had a whole bunch of stuff going on. I can't wait to talk to you about it. We have an action-packed show. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, I have an opinion. You may like it, you may not, but I got an opinion no matter what. So today is no different. I'm going to read to you today's opinion piece, and I've titled it, Gentle, Steady Pressure. If you hear a noise, I'm moving the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, January 1st, 2016 allowed Texans with a valid license to carry their handguns concealed or in the open with a proper holster. And just like in 1996 when concealed carry was first allowed, many ignorant or stupid people thought that there was going to be gunfights in the street. Well, in both cases, they were wrong. Even more so with the new open carry law. Now, I think I've seen two people so far who were carrying in the open, and they both handled themselves pretty well. I personally have done it myself, carrying open, a few times for the reasons of convenience. And to be honest with you, depending on how you carry yourself, nobody seems to care, especially when you're wearing the CHL or the license to carry badge that I promote a lot, and it's being worn right next to the gun. But even so, there are people bound and determined to take away your right to self-defense. Now, listen up. The state says if you want a license to carry, you must go through certain steps to get it. It also says that to keep someone from coming onto your property or premise that has a license to carry, you must give notice, proper notice, approved by the state. Which now brings me to the heart of my opinion piece. In my travels, I have seen locations that are posting both Penal Code 30-06 and 30-07 signs. When both signs are posted, a person with a license to carry cannot go in the premise with a concealed weapon or one that is in the open. In other words, to do business with this particular business, one with a license would have to disarm before going in. Which, ladies and gentlemen, is stripping me and you of our rights to defend ourselves. Well, two can play at this game. And to be honest, our side is going to win. Let me give you two perfect examples. I was preparing a list of all the locations restricting me from carrying a gun, and I was going to tell everybody, all you listeners, who they were so that you would not end up being caught in a victim disarmament zone. But guess what? Two of those businesses got so much heat from those signs and noticed a definite decline in sales because of those signs, they took those signs down. So what does that really tell you? They don't give a damn about you personally. They really don't fear about being robbed. And they felt it more of a fad or a cool thing to do. And they care more about their bottom line than they do anything else. Now, the people who put the heat on those business owners were informed and active participants in society, not persons who don't like what's going on and never say or do anything to stand up for themselves or for anyone else for that matter. If you can't convince them with common sense and logic to do it with your dollars, do it with your dollars. Spend your money somewhere else. Give it to someone who supports your right to self-defense. And for all of you who put heat on those businesses, I salute you. Together with one voice at the same time, we can make a difference. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Now you know what I think. You either like it or you don't. If you don't like it, I don't really care. If you like it, thank you very much. Moving on, let's go to the highlights of today's show. We have a lot going on. Let me give you a brief as to what's happening so you can get ready. Today's license to carry section will cover penal codes 921 and 922. That'll be public duty and necessity. And there is one key word in those penal codes that can cause you a whole lot of trouble. So stand by for that one. Again, as always, I will go over three stories from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column and see what we can glean from those stories. Some of you may not like my commentary on one of those stories, so we'll see what happens. My pep section will be a continuation of the license to carry. In that section, we will read and discuss the art of common sense when carrying a handgun. And to be honest with you, I may postpone that section till next week. But if I can make it in here this week, we'll do it. In today's topic of interest section, I want to talk to you about rape. Yes, rape. Not that it interests me about the act itself, but the criminals, scumbags, and dredges of society and their disregard for human decency. That's what I want to discuss. I hate scum like that. Today's product spotlight will cover tactical flashlights and the different types of switches that turn them on and off. And this is important, and only learn from trial and error. So bypass the trial, bypass the error, and listen to this segment if you use a flashlight on your gun. My gun training demo will teach you a trick on how to use a gun with a flashlight without directly being behind the light, which could put you in a potentially dangerous position. My special guest today will be Clint Walker III from the Walker Honey Farm in Rogers, Texas. I had him on my other show on 105.1 The Ranch just an hour ago. Had a fantastic interview. He's coming on this show, and he'll be up here on the top of the hour. Now, a lot of you drive past the farm winery every day and wonder, gee, well, I wonder what goes on at that place. Well, today you're going to find out. Honey is great, and it's great for preppers. So I can't wait to hear again what Clint has to say, so get ready for that. Also popping in today will be my editor of the Aaron's Gun Shop High Cap Adventure newsletter, Common Ground. That'll be Patty Marek. And every month she writes a new blog, and today she will be reading it to you directly. So take a listen to that. Now, before I go further into the license to carry, let me tell you, if you want to be a part of this show, you can call up here directly in the studio at 254-773-1400. That's 254-773-1400. Or you can contact me via email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Or go directly to the website and check out all that we have to offer there. If you have anything you want to make comment about, please give us a call. Let us know. Now, moving on. Going into the license to carry section. We're going to be talking about Texas Penal Code 921, public duty, and Texas Penal Code 9.22, necessity. Now, these two can be really complex penal codes, so much so that I will be very limited in the discussion of it on the radio. But there is a word in many of the penal code that scares me. And that word is, the word is, reasonable. And you know, you guys know me. You've been listening to me long enough. I love definitions. So let's find out what the definition of reasonable is so we can move on further. Reasonable, it's an adjective of a person having sound judgment, fair and sensible. Synonyms for reasonable would be sensible, rational, logical, fair, fair-minded, just, and equitable. Second definition is as much as is appropriate or fair, moderate. A synonym would be sensible. So here's the problem. If for some reason you have to go to court for your actions, you're going to be in front of 12 jurors, six of which are selected by the prosecuting attorney. And if you know anything about this, the prosecuting attorney does not get paid unless he wins court cases, right? So they're already gunning for you. Hopefully, during the course of your court case, these jurors think what you thought in a nanosecond decision that you made when you reasonably thought your actions were justified. So what am I saying? One, do whatever you can to stay out of a bad situation. Two, if you are in a bad situation, look for a way out. And three, if there is no way out and you feel there is no other recourse, then you will do what you feel you have to do. The trick is this. Know yourself and your capabilities. The better prepared you are in mind, body, and soul, the more time and options it will give you to possibly get out of the bad situation. So now with that lead in, I'm going to read to you Penal Codes 921 and 922. One is public duty, the other one is necessity. Texas Penal Code 9.21, public duty. Except as qualified by subchapter B and C, conduct is justified if the actor, listen up, reasonably believes the conduct is required or authorized by law by the judgment or order of a competent court or other governmental tribunal or in the execution of legal process. Paragraph B. The other sections of this chapter control when force is used against a person to protect persons, subchapter C, to protect property, subchapter D, for law enforcement, subchapter E, or by virtue of a special relationship, subchapter F. Paragraph C. You like all that legalese? Paragraph C. Paul's looking at me here funny. Like, what did he just say? Paragraph C. The use of deadly force is not justified under this section unless the actor, what? Reasonably believes the deadly force is specifically required by statute or unless it occurs in the lawful conduct of war. If deadly force is so justified, there is no duty to retreat before using it. Paragraph D. The justification afforded by this section is available if the actor reasonably believes that, one, the court or governmental tribunal has jurisdiction, or the process is lawful, even though the court or governmental tribunal lacks jurisdiction or the process is unlawful, or two, his conduct is required or authorized to assist a public servant in the performance of his official duty, even though the servant exceeds his lawful authority. Did you get all that? Just remember, oh, thumbs up. Key word and all that, reasonable. What you may think is reasonable, somebody else may think it's not. Let's go to Penal Code 9.22, necessity. Conduct is justified, one, if the actor reasonably believes the conduct is immediately necessary to avoid imminent harm. Two, the desirability and urgency of avoiding the harm clearly outweigh, according to ordinary standards of reasonableness, the harm sought to be prevented by the law prescribing the conduct. And three, a legislative purpose to exclude the justification claim for the conduct does not otherwise plainly appear. All right. What did you get out of that? What I got out of that was, I don't know, other than what I think is right, somebody else may not think it's right, and I'm going into a situation already at 50%. So what I'm telling you is this. The more prepared you are with your mind and your ability to use and run the gun and your spirit and your attitude and all this kind of stuff, the more capable you are in all those areas, the more options and times and alternatives it gives you to get out of a bad situation, so that hopefully that word reasonable never has to come up. If you want to learn more, take a class from me. Go to Aaron's Gun Shop. Go to the License to Carry page and sign up for a class. Once again, if you want to be a part of the show, call 254-773-1400 or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Moving on to our NRA section. In this section, I will read to you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizens page of the American Rifleman. And hopefully, from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. It all depends on the story. If you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one. The more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. These stories that I'm going to read to you today all come from April 2008. And one of these, you may not like my commentary. But that's okay. All right, story number one. I just didn't hesitate, Cody Buckler explained while recalling an armed invasion of his home. He awoke to the sound of strange voices in the living room. Peering down the hall, he saw two masked men toting handguns. His girlfriend's young daughter confronted one of the men, who claimed to be a police officer. Buckler quickly returned to the bedroom for his 12-gauge shotgun. Police say he proceeded to the living room, spotted one of the suspects holding his television, and promptly shot him. That suspect fled, but an accomplice charged up the stairs. Buckler shot him too, causing him to retreat to the basement and exit via a window. The suspects were found seeking treatment for gunshot wounds at the hospital. All right, my commentary. Now, Cody may not have hesitated to see what was going on, but he sure did fail at not bringing the shotgun with him when he went to first investigate what was going on. And number two, I am truly amazed at how many of these intruders in these stories get to walk away after being shot, especially with a shotgun. It's all a matter of training. The more proficient you are, the more precise the shots will be. Practice, everyone. Practice. Story number two. When a 51-year-old woman informed a man she didn't want to be his girlfriend, he committed a series of disturbing acts. Several police reports chronicle the incidents, which include break-ins, vandalism, and even assaults at the woman's workplace. One day she found her home broken into, a clock radio destroyed, and undergarments missing. 2 days later, she heard breaking glass and called 911. The entire chilling incident was recorded on 911 audio. I'm so scared, she told the operator, who advised her to lock herself in her bedroom. She hid in the closet with a 9mm pistol loaned to her by a friend. Police say the alleged stalker began kicking in the bedroom door. What are you doing? The woman screamed. Stop it. Please stop it. Just stop it. The man burst into the bedroom and began choking her. Gunshots rang out. The woman escaped while her assailant lay mortally wounded. My commentary. Number one, amazing, incredibly amazing. And you may be thinking I'm saying amazing for a wrong reason. Amazing because the boyfriend was still on the streets even after doing things to this woman so many times that were chronicalized. Or if that's, is that a word, chronicalized? I think so, okay. Number two, 9/11 tells the woman to lock herself in the bedroom. I'm asking why. The man broke into her home. In my opinion, there is absolutely no retreat in my home. If you break into my house to harm me, I'm telling you something right now. I will not retreat. I will advance and put a thorough stop to your harmful aggression. That's story number two. You've been warned. All right, story number three. You may not like my commentary, but it's all right. You'll get over it. April 2008. Charlie Merrill was standing in a grocery checkout lane when a masked man leaped over the neighboring counter, pulled a gun on a store employee, and demanded cash. Luckily for the store employee, Merrill, a right-to-carry permit holder, was not to be standing by idly, police say. Police say Merrill drew his handgun and ordered the suspect to disarm. The suspect put down his gun, removed his mask, and sprawled out on the floor. Merrill held the man at gunpoint for the police, and the suspect's gun was discovered to be unloaded. My commentary. Hooray, Charlie Merrill. Saved the day and is a hero. Fantastic. And I don't mean anything weird about that. Fantastic. But what if Charlie pulled his gun out and caused the criminal to panic and shoot the employee? Then what happens to Charlie? Number two. I teach scenarios like this all the time in my class. What I stress is, read the situation. Would it have been better to let the guy go with the money? It appeared he wanted the money fast so he could leave. To be clear now, let me be clear, I am not opposed to what Charlie did. I'm just saying, based on the story, it was a very quick decision on his part, and thankfully it went well. I just want all my students not only to be fast, accurate shots, but to be good readers of the situation. We don't always have to draw the gun. Sometimes, it's better to let the guy go to defuse the situation. That's story number three. That's my commentary. If you want to make a comment about it, feel free to call 254-773-1400 and let me know what you think. Other than that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be going over some things that had happened in the course of the week that I want to tell you about, pretty cool things, and some things that are coming up very shortly. So, Paul, if you wouldn't mind, sir, give us a break. We'll be back in about a minute and a half. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, my name is Matt. I'm your host. Today is March 12, 2016. And right now we're coming into our PEP section, but I'm going to kind of divert from that for a moment and tell you all the things that have been happening the last week, and it's coming up pretty quick. Once again, if you want to be a part of the show, 254-773-1400, or give us an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Now, last night was our newly revamped first annual law enforcement benefit shoot-off. Pretty exciting. Most departments in Bell and Milam County were notified of the event, but only three teams organized to be part of the benefit. Hopefully next year more departments will get involved. The three teams that did compete were shooting in honor of the Milano Police Department, and the other two teams were shooting for the Cameron Police Department. And even though this event is basically a fun way to honor law enforcement, the anxiety and competitive stress level was high on the scale that night. Guns were checked and checked again. Strategies were discussed, and there were lots of competitive trash talk going on. And your host was probably the master at that one. I'm asking guys what kind of cigars you smoke, and they're saying why. Because I tell them, because I'm going to be smoking you like a cheap cigar tonight, and they all start laughing. So it was a good time. The way the competition is set up is to stress the points of speed, accuracy, and stress, especially if there's a gun malfunction when competing. A malfunction on the shooting line is a great way to evaluate one's ability to truly handle a firearm. Now, I know what you're saying. Enough with what you're saying, Matt. Who won? Who won? Who won the freaking competition? Well, I'm going to tell you. Team Aaron won. That's my team. Aaron's gun shop was shooting for the Cameron PD, and we won. And the Aaron's team consisted of me, your host, Russell McLaren, Butch Downey, Jonathan Key, and Mike Wren. And guys, you did a great job, fantastic job. The Aaron's Gun Shop Revolving Trophy, it doesn't actually rotate, it just goes from department to department, whoever wins it, was then awarded to the Cameron Police Department, and Officer Chris Stringer was there to receive it for the department. Now, the trophy is going to be displayed in their trophy case for 1 year until the next benefit. Cameron Police Department will have that year to master their team and defend their title. So get to work, everybody else. There's going to be a video up on the website, aaronsgunshop.com, hopefully by Monday or so, showing the Cameron PD receiving the trophy, maybe some actual clips of the competition going on as well. Okay, something else I want to mention to you all, so be sure to clear your schedules for this. You're going to have a lot of fun here. Next Saturday on both shows, this one and the other show I have on 105.1 The Ranch FM, which starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, on both shows I'll be doing a live remote at Wes's Burger Shack and More, located on Main Street in downtown Temple. Now, I've known about Wes, the owner, for a while and have seen him grown in his business. He's been through some tough times, but always seems to come out on top when, you know, time goes on. Now, not only will I be doing this show there starting at 10 o'clock in the morning on 105.1 The Ranch, but Wes agreed to cook up a few quick meals on the cheap to show people how to make a delicious, filling meal with very few ingredients. And also, we're going to be streaming live on my website so you can catch all the fun from your computer or your smartphone. Now, Wes doesn't normally open on Saturdays, but we'll be doing so next Saturday since he agrees on the concepts of being prepared and wants to share some of his skills to you, the listener. So please come on out and support the show and support Wes by being part of the fun and ordering yourself some breakfast or lunch or what have you. Just come on out and check everybody out. Meet us. Love to see who you are and talk to you. Check out my website for more details. So that's going to be a lot of fun next Saturday. Don't forget, 10 o'clock on 105.1 The Ranch, and then 12 o'clock on KTEM 1400. All right, now for my special guest. Patty, let's get her set up with a microphone here so she can talk in the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest here is Patty Mart. She is my editor for the Common Ground newsletter that Aaron's High Cap Adventure has. And every month she comes up with a new blog, and she wants to read it to you live. And so we're going to do that. This is no different. We're going to bring her up in just a second and have her do the same thing. But before I do that, I want her to say hello to everybody and say any words that you want to say. Patty, thanks for coming on. And what do you got to go today? What do you got going on today?
Well, Matt, thanks for having me on. I wanted to start out by saying just a few things, commenting on what you a few things that you've said. You talked this morning about some incidents that have happened, and specifically the one that I'm referring to is the lady in her house who was told to hide in the closet.
Yes.
And, you know, listen, ladies, help's not coming. You got to take care of it yourself. So that's just reality. You know, I'm sorry, all the cops are going to do is clean things up. They're not going to show up in time to save your butt. So.
And if they do, you're blessed, but the majority of times they won't.
Majority of times they won't. You need to take care of it yourself. So that's my comment.
That's your opinion, okay?
That's my opinion. They're not coming. Ladies, if you don't have a shotgun in your house, go get one. You can buy one on the cheap, learn how to shoot it. That will stop most of your problems. So
that's point blank right there.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Patty, for that opinion. Yep. What do you got this month on your blog?
Well, this week I want to talk about dressing for concealment for the ladies. And I entitled this, Dressing for Concealment, what should I do? Or what the heck should I do? I don't even know where to start. So I'm going to read this to you. Matt may have some comments in here. Ladies, please give me a comment. Tell me if you like it, if you hate it. You know, if you give me a comment, I will recognize you on this show. PMAREK at aaronsgunshop.com, or go to the website, hit the blog, read it, go down the bottom, give me a comment. This is called Dressing for Concealment, What Should I Do? There are two things that a woman is adamant about concerning her appearance. The first is that a woman wants to feel confident that she looks good. Secondly, a woman wants to be comfortable. Whoever said that women dress for other women was correct. Sorry, guys. That's just the way it is. If our girlfriend's going, hey, that's a terrible look, we listen. You guys, speak up, but good luck on that. When concealment of a weapon comes into play, these two factors can seem to be at odds. But with a bit of thought and some compromise, both goals can be achieved. The first item to consider is the type of weapon that you want to carry. Take into consideration the size of the weapon that you want to conceal. What is the size and the weight? Obviously, can the weapon be carried comfortably and easily accessed? You can have a great weapon, you can be a great shot, but if you can't use it, it's no good. If any of these factors are not met, then you may want to select a weapon that fits your needs, not your ego. Sometimes I think that bigger is better. That's the American way, but
it's not the size of the ocean, right?
Yeah,
the waves on it.
There you go. There are many weapons made especially for concealment, and specifically, the North American Arms Company makes a variety of small revolver-style pistols that pack a big punch and are easily hidden. If you come out to the range, hey, we'll show you the ways that these things can be carried, concealed. These are not toys. These are Magnum weapons that they will do the trick for you. But if you just do not want the smaller handgun, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Kel-Tec, Ruger, and Sig Sauer make compact and subcompact weapons, and they're quality built, they're easily concealable, easy to handle, the price range is good. You don't have to spend a lot of money. We can help you out on that. I don't recommend carrying a weapon in a purse, a backpack, or a briefcase. It's common sense. Carrying a weapon in a separate bag is termed off-body carry. But too many times a purse or bag can be stolen, and then the weapon is then lost. You've not only lost your ID, you've lost your weapon that you paid good money for. Don't try not to carry it in a purse or anything like that. It's just too easily stolen. The decision to carry a weapon may force you to make changes in how you dress. Clothing is super tight or form-fitting, that may give you some glances here and there, but it's not going to help you with your concealment of your weapon issues. And that's just not what you need. Looser clothing, such as like jackets, sweaters, overshirts, and sweaters, will give you more options. Also, shoulder holsters and inside-the-pants holsters may be an option. I use the inside-the-pant holster. In certain situations, it's great. It's great. There are also shoulder holsters for the very small weapons. You can wear those. You'll forget you have it on. Nobody will ever know. They'll just never know. You also have to consider your body type when selecting a weapon. If you're tall and large-framed, you may have an easier time concealing a weapon than a smaller, petite woman. If you have been doubly blessed by God and have a larger bust line, you'll be able to conceal better than a smaller woman.
No comment.
Yeah, none needed. But there's just more places to hide things, ladies, so take that into consideration. Take all the factors that we've talked about and apply them to your personal style and needs. And whatever you decide, comfort and accessibility should be the two guiding factors in your decision. Now let's talk a little bit about some non-lethal self-defense items. There are many items to choose from, including pepper spray, tasers, punches, and knives. These items can be easily concealed, and they can deliver a powerful blow that can get you away from danger. Whatever you use, it has to be easily accessed, and don't be afraid to use it. If somebody's trying to harm you, don't be afraid that you're going to harm them. Take them out. There, again, let's be blunt. You know, get yourself away from danger. These items can be found online or sporting goods stores. You can wear them on your keychains. Just know what you're doing, you know, especially with the pepper spray and things like that. You know, don't be downwind and things like that. So, you know, you got to think. Above all, be familiar with what you want to carry. You've got to know what you're carrying, know how to use it. Above all, know your surroundings, avoid dark, lonely places, and always be prepared. Keep your head down and your powder dry.
Always be prepared. And basically what I got out of that was you may have the mindset of wanting to carry the gun, but don't let it be uncomfortable or bulky stop you from doing that, because there's so many things out there and so many different ways to carry. If we're talking specifically about women and their body designs and their clothing and all that, there's something out there for any body shape or style of dress for you to wear a weapon, either concealed or out in the open. Sure. So don't let that be an excuse for you not to do it.
Right.
Patty, is this up on the website already, or are you going to be posting it soon?
It will be posted Monday.
Posted Monday. Check it out. Aaron'sGunShop.com. Go to the blog page. Read it up there. Give her some comments. Give some feedback to her. Patty, is there anything you want to say before we close up? Because we're going to have to move on.
Ladies, ask questions, comments, anything that you want to say. Tell me if I'm off base. Tell me if I'm right on. Like I said, I will acknowledge questions. I'll answer your questions on the air. So give me a shout. I'd love to hear from you.
And one more time, your email address?
PMAREK at aaronsgunshop.com, or just go to the blog. It's on the Aaron's Gun Shop website. It's in the toolbar at the top on the right-hand corner. Click on the blog. There it is. And go down to the bottom, and you can comment. Tell me what you think.
Fantastic. Patty, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Paul, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, in about a minute and a half or so, we're going to go over our topic of interest, rape. And you might find that interesting. Anyway, back to you in about a minute and a half. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host. Today is March 12, 2016, and we continue on with this live show today. And we're in our topic of interest section, rape. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this bugs me. It bugs me. I read a story some time ago, and it bugged me. I really had an issue with it. I'm going to start off. I'm just going to read this to you. Actually, let me see what my notes are. Rape is a type of sexual assault, usually involving sexual intercourse or other forms of sexual penetration perpetrated against a person without the person's consent. Now, I am a protector, especially of women and children. And what I mean by that is I will do what I can to train people to protect themselves, but if the dirty deed is going down and I'm around, I will invoke my duty as a good citizen in person to defend a third person. So with that, I want to read a few stories and ask that you give me your opinion on one specifically. I saw this story, and man, it just did not sit well. So here we go. This is, where's this from? News Sky. This was back January. Girl gang raped in New York park. Four held. Four suspects have been arrested in connection with an alleged gang rape of a teenage girl while she was walking in a park with her father. Police in New York said two teenagers voluntarily came into the precinct while the others were apprehended. Charges are pending against a 14-year-old, 17-year-old, and two 15-year-olds. A fifth suspect is still being sought. Authorities said the 18-year-old victim and her father were approached by the group in Osborne Playground in Brooklyn just after 9 p.m. on Thursday. Police said the one man pointed a gun at the father and told him to leave. Each of the five men then took turns raping the girl, police said. Her father returned with two officers, but the attackers fled. The girl was treated in a hospital and released. Police have released CCTV videos that show the group of men in the shop, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said he was disgusted and deeply saddened by the alleged attack. He added that every possible step would be taken. Well, of course. I read that because, I don't know, Dad, if my daughter's there and I'm in the park, I had this discussion with a few people. If my daughter's there and somebody's pointing a gun at me, there's going to be a fight, especially if it's my daughter involved. And I'm kind of curious as to what you think out there. You have your daughter. There's four guys. They want to rape her. Guy points a gun at you and tells you to leave. And then you leave your daughter to be raped while you go get police. Can you do that? Can anybody else do that? I'll tell you what. I can't do that. I'm standing my ground. I'm taking their ground. I'm doing whatever. I just can't do it, man. There's just no way. I want to know. I mean, if this guy did it, is there anybody else here that does it? And if you do do it, or you would do that, why would you do it? What's the reasoning behind it? And if you're totally like me and wouldn't, give me a call too and let me know. 254-773-1400. Let me read you something else here while you're meditating on that and dialing the phone. Yeah, I'll read this one here. Gang rape victim. They shouted, sweetie, this is a Muslim gang rape victim. I got this from, where does this come from? I don't see it here, but I'll just read it. It's another glimpse into the future of Europe and of the United States as well, unless these disastrous immigration and refugee settlement policies are halted and reserved. Natalie Hager, 29, who was on her way home from a bus stop when a group of Arabic-speaking men suddenly attacked her outside a church. She managed to fight her way out of the gang rape and was left badly injured. They beat me black and blue and cut into one of my breasts while shouting at me that I was a Swedish whore, Natalie told Freya Titer. The attack took place near the church in Pittoresk or something, town of Norway, west of Stockholm, late Tuesday night. Natalie Hager, who has suffered memory lapses because of the hard blows she received to her head during the attempted gang rape, had followed a friend to the bus stop. Later, she went back to the bus stop again since her friend thought she had forgotten her gloves there. When Natalie was walking home for the second time, she noticed a group of men walking briskly behind her. She called her boyfriend and started to run, but after the chase of about 100 meters, the men caught up with her. They pushed me down on my stomach and dragged me by my hair up a paved hill into an alley. I have no memories of them beating me, but my face is blue and swollen. They also cut into one of my breasts with something that must have been a carpet knife or a razor blade. The wounds are long and narrow. I also have a big black marks on my arm where they held me down. She came around when the rape was about to start. Ms. Hager has no recollection of what happened until she saw the men pulling their trousers down. Then I came around and noticed that they had ripped off all my clothes, and somehow I managed to get away. I guess I must have beat them and clawed my way free because my hands are blue and black and swollen, and I also have blood under my nails, which have been sampled by the police. While running away, Natalie saw her boyfriend 50 meters away. At that point, the men departed from the scene. So, the mindset of scum, what they can do to an individual, and they're chicken, and they're worthless, and they need to be taken away because they have to do it in gangs or whatever, but to think like that, what I'm trying to get at is this. There are people out there with bad intent. And if you've got a blinder over you and you're not paying attention and you think all is well, you're nuts. You're stupid. You're ignorant. You're naive. You're foolish. Get with the program. There are bad people out there that can hurt you, who want to hurt you, and they don't care what you think. So on my first story, when I saw that where the dad just goes away and leaves his daughter there, I was flabbergasted. I can't comprehend that. I just can't comprehend it. So if you've got a position on that or an attitude on that, so the bottom line is this. Be prepared. Be aware of your surrounding. Acknowledge there's a threat. Be aware of your surrounding and avoid it if at all possible. And if you can't avoid it if at all possible, then what you want to do is be able to defend yourself. And if you're going to defend yourself, make sure it's thorough, proper, accurate, and effective and efficient. And how do you get that? Whether it's a pepper spray, a knife, whatever you've got. Okay, if you're carrying a concealed weapon, make sure you know how to draw it from concealment. Make sure you know how to shoot it on the mark when necessary. Do whatever it is you got to do to make yourself a viable instrument of self-defense. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to take another break. And Paul, when we come back, we're going to start over our gun product demos. But think about that. You can call me up later if you want, if you got a comment on that. But would you, Dad, run away from your daughter to go get police when you know your daughter is going to be raped? I know some may not agree with me, but I just want, I'm kind of curious what you think. All right, Paul, take a break.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Ladies and gentlemen, lots of people wonder or doubt their ability to function well in a seminar or a training session. That's not really the problem. The problem is finding an instructor who knows what they're doing and who is able to convey those skills to his or her students. I had somebody yesterday at the shop. Once again, this is a common occurrence. The husband tries to instruct the wife. The wife wants nothing to do with listening to the husband's instruction, and he's been training and trying for months and years. I come in 5 to 10 minutes and teach them the proper procedure, and they're good to go because I'm a total stranger and I'm a person of supposed authority. So it's the way it works. Now, if you have any doubts about yourself, I want you to refer to aaronsgunshop.com's testimonial page. You'll get to watch and listen and read testimonials from prior students of ours stating they came in nervous, and at the end of the day, they craved more training and info. They all broke through the barrier of self-doubt and became empowered with the knowledge that they can use their weapon and function under stress. If you've wanted to take a weapons class but were too unsure to commit, I challenge you to review the testimonial page at aaronsgunshop.com. You can do this. Go to aaronsgunshop.com now and watch the videos. And here's the other thing, ladies and gentlemen. I have two spots available for tomorrow's combo seminar. That's where we had the license to carry class put in an advanced training seminar for the same price. Normally, the seminar is $165. This license to carry class is $60. Well, tomorrow, both of them together is only $165, and it includes a nice barbecue lunch. There is still time. You still can do it. Give me a call. Sign up online. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page, but do it now and take advantage of the combo class. Okay, moving on. I want to do our product demo, and I want to talk to you about tactical flashlights, not the flashlight itself, but the different types of on-off switches that the tactical flashlights have. And we've got about four. There's different types of switches, but the basic ones are the slide switch, the push-button switch, the toggle switch, and the squeeze pad switch. And since I've got video running right now, as I read these off again, let me show you what they are. Here's a tactical light, but it's got the slide bar that turns it on and off. You push it from the left to the right, from the right to the left. Then you have the push-button switch. You got the long flashlight here with the push-button in the back. You push the button, and nothing happens because the battery's dead. Okay, but you push the button, and it works. Then you have the toggle switch. The toggle switch, you turn up and down like a seesaw. One way is a permanent on. The other way is a temporary or a strobe light on. And then we have the squeeze pad switch. Basically, if you got the light on your handgun or rifle, it's got a wire coming out with a squeeze pad that you can squeeze it when you want to use it. So those are basically the different types of on-off switch. Now, in my humble opinion, some tactical lights should not be put on some types of guns, while other tactical lights should not be put on others. And here's why. Pistol light rails are under the slide of the gun. If you're looking in the video again, I've got my simulator Glock 17 here, and this light rail is right underneath the barrel. Okay? A slide switch tactical light is okay, except for one aspect of its design. When laying the handgun down, there's a good chance that the slide switch may be touched and turn the light on by accident and kill your batteries without you even knowing it. And when it comes time to use it, in case of emergency, well, you have no light. So if you look at this flashlight here with the on-off switch being the slide switch, and if I put the gun down on its side, it may bump that switch into the on position, and then your battery dies and you don't even know it. So although this is a very bright light for a very good cost, its only flaw would be its on-off switch, which is a slide bar switch. A push button that is on the back of a light won't work for a pistol either, since the trigger guard of the pistol gets in the way. So if I try to push the put button here, there's no way for me to get my finger to the push button to turn it on. So that's not going to work for that. A toggle switch, however, is perfect for a handgun. If you'll notice, I'm putting the toggle switch flashlight on the simulator. And when I'm holding the weapon, I can manipulate my fingers to turn the light on and turn it off, enable me to have a free hand. So the toggle switch is perfect for a handgun. Since your fingers are very close to the switch, you can easily manipulate the light, touching the toggles with the that stick out on either end. You can turn the light on temporarily by tapping the toggle, or turn it on completely by tapping the toggle switch the other direction. Now, a toggle switch on a tactical light being used for a rifle is not good, because the toggle switch can be accidentally bumped when you don't want it to be bumped and give away your position. So if I'm holding my weapon and my tactical light's up here for me to manipulate, but it has no protective covering over the switch, and I hit a tree limb or something, it may bump the light on when I don't want it to be on. So a butterfly switch light for a rifle, in my opinion, is not good. A slide switch on a rifle has the same problem as the handgun. It can be accidentally turned on. So the best light for a rifle, in my opinion, is the push button switch or the squeeze pad switch. They both give quick access to the turning on of the light, but you can maintain full control as to when the light goes on. Now, all this I've said is not written on the packaging of any tactical light. This is all learned by trial and error. As much money as I spent on lights, I can tell you there has been lots of errors. So before you waste your money and buying on the wrong tactical light, be sure to check out this video on the website and go to aaronsgunshop.com. And remember, you got the slide on and off switch, you've got the button switch, you've got the toggle switch, and then you've got the squeeze pad switch. So take a look at it. This is a very brief video, but at least it gets you started. So if you like one over the other, you can go study it via YouTube, Google it, whatever, and you can start learning what might be best for your particular weapon. So that's it for the product demo. Moving on to the gun training demo. And since we have the flashlights here, I wanted to show you a little trick on how to use a flashlight. I drew a diagram for you, too, because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm always giving. You can see in the video here, I'm showing a picture of a handgun with a tactical light attached to the bottom of the light rail. And in my drawing, I have a dotted line coming out of the barrel. The dotted line out of the barrel where the X is the direction or the flight path of the bullet as it comes out of the barrel. When the light is on, you know how when there's the light on, you can see the cone of light as it goes down range? Well, the yellow highlighter here represents the cone of light. The orange line with the ball at the end represents that bright beam in the center of that cone of light. Now, if you study this and know this, you'll realize that the center beam, the brightest part of the beam, the center, will be directly under your bullet flight path. So let's give an example here. I've got my gun here with the flashlight on it.
You're welcome to turn off the light.
Well, Paul's telling me to turn off the light. Let's try that out. Paul, thank you very much. Can we see this? Oh, there we go. Okay, let's get it on camera. There we go. I've got the light on. If you look in the video, everybody, you're going to notice that the outer perimeter is not as bright as the interior perimeter of the cone of light. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this on permanent. You'll notice the center part is brighter. So when I go to shoot the gun, you can't even see it. It's too bright. The laser is hitting right about here. And that's going to be just about an inch above where the center cone is. So here's the illustration. If you're in your house or something, or outside in the street, and you've got a gun with a flashlight on it, the most common comment is, well, won't they know where you are if you got your flashlight on? Well, yeah, they're going to know your basic area. But there's different ways and different techniques. One's like moving the flashlight all the time, and that's like a gun's in one hand, a flashlight's in the other, but it occupies one of your hands. So that's why I don't really like having a gun and a flashlight. I want the flashlight on the gun. Or you can hold the gun away from you or get a little bit of cover. But if you can see the threat and you're behind some type of barricade and you can put the gun around the corner, and we'll illustrate it here with this microphone while you're looking on the video. I'm on this side being protected, but I can still see the threat. I don't want the threat to know where I am exactly. He has a general idea, but what I'm doing is I'm bringing the gun to the other side of the barricade, and I know that the bullet impact is going to be right about center of where the brightest part of the beam is. So if I project that bright beam onto the threat, when I see the brightest part of the beam on him, I know that if I go to pull the trigger, that bullet path is going to line up about either dead center or about an inch or two above the center beam of the flashlight. So what's happening is I can be out here and take the shot and be totally undercover, and he may return fire at something that a light, and I'm not even there. So that's a great little trick to know about how the flashlight works on your handgun. Once again, let me show the picture, the illustration. The bullet flight path comes out of the barrel and goes down to the target. When the tactical light is turned on, it causes a cone of light. And in the center of the cone, it will be the brightest beam, and that goes to the center of the cone of light. The brightest part of the beam is directly underneath where the bullet path will impact. Okay? So if you know where the bullet path is and the light beam is, you know you just put it on the target, and you should have a good hit while staying undercover. So that's good stuff to know. Tricks of the trade. There's other ways to carry your flashlight on your handgun and how to manipulate it, but that's too short of a time segment for this part of the radio show. I'm not going to do it. Take one of my classes. We go over lights. We go over how to walk, duck walk. We learn how to turn corners. We do all sorts of stuff. And we're going to do that on tomorrow's seminar. We're going to not only take the required elements of the license to carry class that are organized by the state. They have certain things that have to be done. We're going to take care of all that. But in addition to that, we're going to go over advanced training. And some of it's going to be the use of lights, lasers, multiple shots, command shooting, turning corners, clearing your home, malfunctions, how to clear malfunctions, all sorts of good stuff. And also, we're going to have a great time, barbecue lunch. It'll be fun for all. I have two spots left. If you are interested at all, now's the time to do it, because it's a great opportunity for you to save some money to get both classes for the price of one. It's going to be tomorrow, Sunday, the 13th, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to get over at about 6 in the evening. Don't forget daylight savings time. I'm not sure. When does that happen, Paul? Does that happen tonight, or does that happen Sunday
tomorrow
night?
Morning.
Tomorrow morning. So when we wake up in the morning, when you think it's 6 o'clock, in reality it's 7 o'clock, right?
I think it's at 2 a.m.
2 a.m. Okay, so at 2 a.m. it'll be really 3 a.m. Spring forward, fall back. Okay. Now, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we have a special guest coming in from the Walker Hunting Farm. That's Clint Walker III. We'll be starting that about the top of the hour, and I look forward to it. So until then, hear the following commercial and listen to some music, and we'll be back in just a bit.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's 2016. Today is March 12th, and we're live here. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to reiterate something, too. Your support of this radio show is greatly appreciated, and there's many ways to support this show. There's a monetary donation is always welcome. Becoming a sponsor is another great way. Liking us on Facebook helps spread the word about the show. And showing up to the events gives us moral support. And calling into the show adds your input and opens topics up that may not have been discussed before. So if you like the show and would like to be continue to grow, and your support is greatly appreciated. The Aaron's High Cap Adventure Show is not just another talking head show. This show gives out information that you can apply immediately for your self-well-being. So go to aaronsgunshop.com and check out the entire site. Look at the pictures, read the testimonials, listen to the past shows via podcast, and together we can make a difference. If you have any positive suggestions, please let us know. With your help, we can complete this show by growing into a full 2 hours, and I think we can do it. So, once again, if you want to be part of the show, 254-773-1400. Today, my special guest, Clint Walker III. Clint, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be with you.
We had Clint on our other show, the 105.1 FM The Ranch show, at 10 o'clock. It was an awesome interview. Had a great time. And I read, not really a bio, but a bio of the business. So let me read to you, everybody out there, again, what's going on here with Clint and the honey farm. When G.C. Clint Walker Sr. bought 150 hives of bees in the spring of 1930 at the age of 40, he had no idea that he was founding a business that would become a career for not only himself, but for two of his sons and one of their sons. After losing the family grocery business in the little East Milam County town of Gauz in central Texas, Clint was simply trying to find some way to feed his wife and four young sons. The family was surviving the earliest years of the Depression with a large garden, lots of canning, and Grandpa's skill as a butcher. Honeybees seemed like a decent gamble. The gamble turned into a business that endures today. To be sure, the business was changed. We are now in our 86th year in our third generation of Walker beekeepers. In the past decade, we have survived colony collapse disorder. Keep that in mind. We're going to be talking about that. And managed to construct a new honey packing plant, retail store, and production facility near Temple, Texas. What hasn't changed is the family's commitment to producing the best quality honey and honey products. Now, whether you've been eating Walker honey for 40 years or just found us on the web, we invite you to sample our carefully crafted and time-tested products. Our hope is that all of our hard work will pay off in your enjoyment and pleasure. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for letting us serve you. Janice and Clint Walker and the team at the Honey Walker Honey Farm. Janice couldn't be here, unfortunately, but we have Clint here. So, Clint, welcome to the show. Is there anything I forgot to mention?
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having us. You hit it. You nailed it. And I told you in the first show at the other station this morning, I think it's always a benefit when you start with a failure. So we went broke in the grocery business in 1929, and Grandpa was looking for something else to do. So we're in beekeeping because we failed first, and we try not to forget that. We're willing to take a risk and try.
Fantastic. What gets me about the failed grocery store is back then, wasn't everybody starving for food?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like an oxymoron.
All right. Great stuff. Thanks for having us.
Sure. Well, as everybody knows on this show, I always ask my guests questions, and I usually give them the questions prior to the interview so that you're prepared, I'm prepared, and without the audience knowing it, we look like we're really good at what we're doing.
I like that.
They heard
it's
that,
good,
didn't they?
It's okay. A good program.
All right, so well, today's no different. What we're going to do is we're going to read some questions here, and some of them are going to overlap, so if I repeat myself from time to time, it's okay. It's good to hear it again. But, Clint, I'm a prepper. This show is kind of a prepper type of show, be prepared, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, and I studied on honey a long time ago as a substitute for sugar, mm-hmm. and that opened up the doors to a whole bunch of different things. So what I want to do is get your smarts and share it with the audience on about a whole bunch of different topics, and I'm sure you got some stuff that I haven't asked that you're going to bring up. So let's start it like this. What properties of honey makes it a food item that preppers might want to consider?
Absolutely. Great question. And I'll just preface my answer by saying that you've been one of our customers for maybe 10 years or more.
Yes, sir.
I remember you coming in and we visited and you've bought honey in bulk. And we have a lot of folks that for a myriad of different reasons are storing food. And why is honey a great option for a food storage program? Honey naturally preserves itself. Many of your listeners have heard and know, but I'll repeat it again for the sake of this conversation. They've taken honey out of 3,000-year-old Egyptian pharaoh's tombs, and it's perfectly unspoiled, fit to eat. And so honey's natural preservation properties come into play. There's really no other carbohydrate that you could store that length of time and not have spoilage.
Every time you bring that story up, I always listen in awe, and I always say the same thing. That's unbelievable. 3,000 years, and it's just like you pulled it out of the hive, right?
It really is, and I will tell you, beekeepers, people that have a lot of experience with honey, I would love to dip my spoon in some pharaoh tomb honey,
right?
And with no fear of threat of, you know. And so that's why honey is ideal. When you and I, if we ever are in a situation where the prepper philosophy has to come into play, and we all hope it never does.
Right.
But if it does, you need two things primarily to survive besides water. You need carbs and proteins. If you have those two things, you'll survive. And honey is probably the safest, best, most reliable, and we think good for you and tasty carb that you could store and have in an emergency.
You know, I've heard this before, but the way you just said it made my brain pop here. Could you, like, in a bug-out bag, have your honey sticks? Would that supplement like a piece of beef jerky? Would that take the place of that, or am I missing something?
It would take the place of anything that you need in there for energy. So the jerky is going to provide your protein, and your proteins are made up of amino acids. So your brain will still function, your muscles will still work, but you need carbohydrates to burn. That's the calories that we have to burn. So you'd be stuck in the chair. Your body might be all right, but actually, we actually have a product in our store. It's a honey cured beef jerky. Now, if you could take my beef jerky, you know, in your bug out bag. Actually, to your question, military.
I'm stopping by today. I want to pick up some stuff. So you show me around.
Okay? That sounds good. We'd love to do that. The military has put honey in their MREs, their meals ready to eat. It's a honey straw is a great thing. A teaspoon of honey is 60 calories, and you can go and fight and live to fight another day. On that.
That's pretty good. Okay, so did I miss anything on that particular? Is there anything else on why the prepper might want it?
The only thing that I think people need to know about natural honey, and we can talk a little bit later, and I know you're going to want to ask some questions about the difference in our honey and, say, a processed honey,
right,
and
right.
Why is raw honey, natural honey different? We'll get to that later. I'll save that. But you need a raw honey because a raw honey preserves itself by crystallizing. People call it granulating, sugaring. It gets hard. It's not liquid anymore. Call it what you want. It's the same process. And it's one way that natural raw honey preserves itself, by forming crystals, and that keeps it from fermenting, or it keeps it from having any bacteria grow in it or anything like that.
Incredible.
It's a beautiful natural process.
What about, I didn't mention this before, but I wanted to mention it last show, but we didn't have time. What about on healing? Like if you have an open wound, I read something about that where you can actually put it on there and it heals. Talk to me about that.
The Greek army, 500 BC, did not understand bacteria, but knew that its soldiers who were injured on the battlefield and could find a wild bee tree and smear the contents of the tree into an open wound. They actually told their soldiers, if you get that mortal wound, you know you're going to die. People die from that type of wound. Smear the contents of a bee tree in that wound, and people lived. And they didn't understand why at that time, but now that we understand bacteria, we know that honey is bactericidal. Honey kills bacteria. It has the added benefit that the antibiotics that your doctor might prescribe to you doesn't have, in that no bug can acclimate to the antibacterial, the bactericidal properties of honey. So, for example, Streptococcus or Pneumococcus, they put them in the dishes, and some antibiotics that have been on the shelf too long and used too much, overused, abused, the bugs now have become resistant to them. But if you can get honey on a wound, now unfortunately this doesn't work. You can't inject honey in your blood veins, so you know, in your veins, so this is not for intravenous use. But if you have a cut, there's nothing better than honey, way better than triple antibiotic ointment to put on a cut.
Wow.
Plus it cuts down scarring. Scar tissue can't grow in the presence of honey.
You know what's more amazing than what you're telling me? What's more amazing than what you just told me is the person who thought about it back then and said, you know, hey, put some honey on that.
Right.
How do they come up with this
old wives' tales, and now the science is coming in behind it, saying we're testing that and saying that's true. That's really right.
That's incredible. That's a great thing for a prepper, man. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's a sugar substitute where you can cook with it. If you're out of sugar for whatever it is you're cooking, you can utilize that.
And cooking with honey actually makes them stay moist longer, so your cookies don't dry out in the jar on the countertop if you make them with honey as opposed to sugar.
Is it like a cookie oil? Honey oil?
A good natural oil in combination with honey, and you're going to have a moist cookie. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. What else can we talk about? What issues might a person face with honey over long periods of time? We talked about that, I believe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What experience do you and Walker Honey have with honey storage? I think we're talking temperatures and how you contain it.
Right.
Why don't you tell us about that?
We typically like to keep honey at a constant temperature. It doesn't have to be cold. Honey does quite well in a beehive with 100-plus degree temperatures in August and below freezing temperatures in January and February. So honey doesn't suffer from temperature modulations. When we store honey, we typically store it for a year or less. So if we make honey in May or June or July, it may be next January before we put it in the bottle and you're going to come pick it up off the shelf. We store that honey in steel drums with a food grade liner in that, and the honey preserves beautifully.
Clarify why the steel liner as right. compared to like the bucket we had discussed before.
Right.
When I got my honey, I bought it in a 5-gallon bucket. Mm-hmm. But if you do it in a long-term storage, there might potentially be a challenge. Why don't you tell us about that?
Glass is always your number one option for storing honey, just because glass doesn't leach anything out into the contents of what you have in it. Plastic, although we use food-grade plastics for our honey, our buckets, our plastic containers, on the long term, I would rather just take the safe route, even though the plastics that we use are certified food grade.
What's that called? BPA?
BPA. I think. But
are you familiar with that is? Can
yes,
you explain?
Yes, absolutely.
What that is?
It's an additive in plastics, and that it's largely been eliminated from food grade plastics for a long. They discovered it in baby formula bottles and things like that that were clearly intended for human consumption, and so the. There's been so much press about that I think the industry has pretty much eliminated that from most food items. You still have to be careful and watch for it.
What makes Walker Honey different than other honey that I may want to buy at the store? Does this go back to the question we want to get to in depth?
No, this is a good place to do that. I think what sets us apart, and I want to include a lot of other people who are doing what we're doing, is that we're like the person that you knock on their door at the farm and they're selling a dozen eggs out the back door from their chickens and their hens, and you can have a conversation about what's going on there, how that, or farm-raised beef or pork or anything like that. If you know your producer, then you can trust your food. Now, when we go to the store with honey, there's an added component to that. The big store brands, the store brands or the big multinational packers that are putting honey on the shelf, the names that you know, but we won't mention here today,
right? Okay.
Right? they are processing their honey, homogenizing their honey, pasteurizing their honey. They're heating it to 165 degrees, kills all the natural occurring yeast and enzymes and the good things in honey. They filter out all the plant pollens that the bees put in the honey. And they're taking everything out of the honey except for two things, the fructose and glucose molecules. So it's still sweet, but it's not all the honey.
I want to set this up. And why are they doing that, Clint?
Right. They're doing it for one reason. They want to keep honey liquid on the store shelf. They want to be able to ship it across the country from one central location in Kansas or Iowa or California.
Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about this in the last show, and I was just like, oh, I can't believe it, man. It's all about the dollar. Let's finish up that point by saying this. What happens to the honey when it's left out in the open? It does what? It crystallizes.
It crystallizes.
Some people may think that it's going bad.
Right.
So these companies, which will go unnamed, do what you said by taking out all those good stuff of the
Absolutely.
Honey so that they can maintain it in a liquid form and it looks pretty on the shelf and it never looks funky, right?
It's purely cosmetic. Exactly right.
So here the customer is buying honey because they've heard all these great things about honey, right, and they're spending the money for the honey. However, all the good stuff is out of it, whereas your stuff and other little local guys too. I don't take nothing away from these guys. But what you're doing is it's natural and it's got all those things. So reiterate it once again.
Exactly right. And then the only way that you know that your honey is raw, that it's been strained, we run it through a sock strainer, we call it, and that gets the beeswax out of it, or if there's a bee wing in it or something like that, because we want you to have a good, clean, clear liquid, much like you might strain milk through cheesecloth if you had natural milk. And your local beekeeper is doing that. So if you're hearing this and you're not in Bell County, and even here in Bell County, there's some good local beekeepers that you can trust. Have that conversation. It's like that buying the eggs from the local farmer analogy. If you go buy from the local farmer and you see the egg is not perfectly clean and washed and maybe there's three different colors of eggs, you don't get upset at that imperfection. You go, boy, I know that's fresh right out from under the hen.
That's
I don't
right.
have to worry about how long it's been in a truck or a warehouse
that's right.
or cold storage somewhere.
That's a good point. I like it. Okay. What special advice would you give to me if you want to store honey? Where to store it? Oh, we already talked about that. There was something over here, though, we had mentioned. And I think let's do this. Let's go to the raw honey. Why don't you go into that in more depth? I think you did it, but you wanted to finish up on some points, didn't you?
Sure. You know, if you want to use honey, we talked about science and the old wives' tales. And I think I mentioned on the first show that as a kid growing up, when my sisters or myself would have a sore throat, anyone in the family would have a sore throat, my dad would mix up his special concoction of apple cider vinegar and honey. And we would sip that and our throat felt better. Now, you know, I wondered for a while, was that better because dad was taking care of our sore throat or because it was actually doing something good? Science has come in now, as we talked about the bactericidal properties of honey. We talked about being proven now. And this is one of the most exciting new latest research things in honey. Penn State University did a study about 4 years ago. It's been replicated again and now peer-reviewed that honey is better for childhood cough than dextromethorphan, which the DM that was always in, I'll say it, Robitussin DM, you know, the DM part. Pediatricians always worried about prescribing that to their patients because there's side effects to that. Kids get hopped up. They don't go to sleep well. The DM is not a good product, but it did seem to calm the cough. In this study, honey did a better job than dextromethorphan, and actually dextromethorphan failed to do better than the placebo, the sugar water treatment in the study.
Is that a study somebody can look up somewhere?
Absolutely. In fact, if people want to get in contact with me and follow up on any of these questions, they can send me an email to clint@walkerhoneyfarm.com, and I'll be glad to give them the link to that study and the replicated
study.
Well,
once they see it for themselves, they'll probably be switching over pretty quick. Go ahead and do that website.
And the science. Clint@walkerhoneyfarm.com.
Okay.
And the science behind so many of these things are good. And the key about where this plays into raw honey is most of these things are only tested in raw honey, not in processed honey. So honey for coughs, honey reduces inflammation. It's a natural antihistamine. It's good for so many things that the wives' tales have been out there for 500 years about, and now we're getting science
behind. Well, I can back you up on at least the throat thing. I was down down and out for a couple of weeks, and I was hacking up my left lung, you know, just by coughing so much. And I finally said, you know, I don't ever do this. Let me concoct this thing with honey in it. And but I was using just that honey. I wasn't using your
honey.
Right. I was looking, where's their honey? Where's their honey? And I found this old jar that was crystallized. Well, maybe it was good honey. It was all crystallized.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in the drink, drank it. As soon as I drank it, I immediately felt some better feeling. It was a lot smoother.
You can do this with lemon juice, with apple cider vinegar, which has some other good properties for your gastrointestinal tract. The apple cider vinegar does puts the good microbes, good bugs back in your stomach. So if you've been taking an antibiotic and you're suffering from that, take the apple cider vinegar. And why would you put the honey with that? Honey is the good microbes in our gut. Honey is their favorite food. They thrive more on that than the steak and potatoes that you had for dinner last night or anything else that you consume.
Why don't you make a teenager, a young teenager, happy and tell them why it can help acne, or it supposedly can do that?
Oh, this has been one of the most exciting things. I served a few years on the National Honey Board. And we did some research with some natural cosmetology schools on the value of honey as a skin treatment. And they were shocked when they found out how good honey was. So it's now being used in facial peels, facial applications.
Can you give a quick explanation of how you would apply it?
Oh, there's some great websites. I'll send this to anybody that asks. But if you'll go to honey.com, that's a great resource. That's the National Honey Board. And click on, I don't know if it's cosmetics. There's a tab on there that you'll see. It's beauty products.
Okay.
And if you'll look at that, they actually tell you the science behind why it helps with acne and why it rejuvenates skin and reduces wrinkles. And I can tell you this. We make soaps out of honey and beeswax. And there's one right there that we do.
It's cinnamon with oatmeal soap. I mean, it's in the wrapper right now, but it's just a round disc, and it's...
The oatmeal is just for exfoliant, but it has honey in it, and it has beeswax in it, and some other nice essential oils like the cinnamon essential oil. No artificial fragrances in any of our soaps. But why would I want to use honey on my skin? Your skin is your largest organ on your body.
That's right.
Okay? And when you put an oil on it, what you're doing is you're coating that skin, and whatever's in your skin, you're keeping it in your skin. Whatever's outside your skin, you're keeping it away from your skin. So if you want moisture in your skin, you dampen your skin and put honey on it, or honey in a lotion so it's not sticky, which is easy to do, instead of the propylene glycol and the oils that are in the lotions. And now your skin becomes a sink for moisture. It draws moisture out of the air and continues to hydrate itself. So you're not locking your skin back behind a closet of oil. You're opening it up to the environment and to enjoy the moisture in the environment.
Amazing. That's very interesting. Extremely interesting. As time ticks away, I know you got a box here full of products. First, before I forget, let's talk about that wine. Tell us about your winery.
We say that at Walker Honey Farm that we're bee to bottle, and we say that because we want people to know that we have beehives. We have 1,000 hives of bees, primarily in 5 counties here in Central Texas, and produce our own honey, and have been since 1930. So that's our core business, is beekeeping. But a few years ago, about 15 years ago, about the time you and I got to know each other, as you became a customer of ours, and I became a customer of Aaron Gun Shop. We decided we were going to do more of the to-bottle part of it, so we've been bottling more honey. And about 5 years ago, we said, you know, there's another bottle that we could put this honey in. So we started making honey wine or mead, and we've been doing that for about 5 years now. We've got some award-winning wines. We've won some national awards.
That's fantastic.
Our apple honey wine won best mead in the show at the American Wine Society in November a year ago. So we're having fun doing it. We've got a great vintner, does a great job for us, and we'd encourage people to come out and try some bee to bottle.
That's right. Your original building was the front part of your warehouse or your production facility there.
Right.
And then you built the new structure to the right of that as you're looking at the building.
Yes.
That is where your store is. Yes. Your winery part of it is on that side too, from what I saw, right?
You can buy the honey and the wine there at our new store that we've just been in. We moved in 2 years ago this January. We do have the wine cellar up at the production facility, as well as the honey extracting and the honey bottling. So everything that we do that we get dirty and sweaty while we're doing it happens up there at what you're calling the production facility, the old warehouse building, where the store used to be in the front of. And so now we've got a place where you can come in and sit down or taste different honeys and fill your own bottle of honey out of a tank.
What do you do twice a year? year. What do you call that, expose or whatever it is?
We do a farmer's market twice a year. Our real commitment, because we're the farmer and we're on the farm and we're producing our product and want to sell it, is to create an environment in those two farmer's markets on Memorial Day, so coming up here at the end of May, and the second Saturday in October, is to create a forum where other local farmers can bring their produce in, even craftspeople, small artisans, things like that. If you're making it here locally, we want to support that. And so we have vegetable growers, we have natural grown grass-fed beef and pork, and we do food trucks, and it's a lot of fun.
We had about a great opportunity for a live remote, you know?
It does. You know, if we could find someone that could do a good live remote, we might just have them out.
Okay. All right, well, look, you got that box full of goodies here. I want people to see it on the video, too.
So that's just a jar of our Central Texas wildflower honey. It says
let's clarify that. Look, when you go to the store and you see the other honeys and they're pretty and all this kind of stuff, it's because they took all that good stuff out of it. This is looking pretty, and it's got all the good stuff in it. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
This is cool. I like this.
This is the fun product, right, Matt? This is our natural honeycomb. It's made in the beehive. So if you want something that we haven't touched, no one has touched, that's what you want. Honeycomb, we've got it in the round. It's a half a pound. And when you put your spoon in it, that's the first time anything's happened to that honeycomb since the bees made it.
Explain how you did it. You told me about the discs in the hive.
Right. There's a ring here around this that we put in the beehive, and a little starter sheet of foundation, and the bees make the honey in this circle. Then we take it out of the hive and put the lids on both sides of it so we can, and a label, so we can get it to the store shelf for you so you can take home and
incredible. I
feed the family. It's a great product. This is honey in the raw, in natural. This is some cotton honey. We put it right in the jar. We never try to keep it liquid at all because it's got a different sugar composition. It's got less fructose and more glucose, and high glucose honeys tend to crystallize faster, so we don't even try to keep it liquid like this. We extract the honey right out of the combs. We let it settle for just a day or two. That means the wax floats to the top and the foam. Skim that off with a spoon and put it right in the jar. So you could find some beeswax in here. This is raw. This is really raw.
Okay. Not as raw as that.
Not as raw as that. Okay. That's great stuff. We have some fun stuff we do.
That looks delicious.
Raspberry and honey. You're going to take this one home with you. I don't have a label on it. So anyway, but this is raspberry and honey that we crystallize real creamy and smooth. So you can just take your knife and scrape it a little bit, put it on your toast, put it on your waffles. It's a lot of fun and great flavor, and that's all natural raspberries too. This is probably the best thing we've done in the last few years. This product is peanut butter and honey. It was in HEB's top 25 new products in Texas 2 years ago. It's now in 200 stores around the state.
That's survival food right there.
Absolutely. This is the thing that if I had to put something, what'd you call your bag that you got
bug
to go?
Out bag.
Bug out bag. Yes, okay, sir. I'm going to have to be a better prepper here if I'm going to hang with you, Matt.
All right.
If you had to put one thing in your bug out bag, maybe the honey cured jerky would be in this same ballpark, but peanut butter and honey, you've got a great natural, good for your heart, peanuts, that's proven, scientifically proven now.
Sometimes you put peanut butter on celery sticks, it's really good. If I got honey sticks and I dipped it in your peanut honey, how would that work?
See, are you bucking for a job at Walker Honey Farm, Matt? You're great, man.
I'll do whatever I can.
Yeah, that's right. We're always looking for that next idea, and like we said earlier, we don't mind trying one and failing.
It's Reese's. You know how that's it.
Big guy, exactly. Chocolate peanut butter. I love it. Good analogy. So the peanut butter and honey, that's been a great product. We've been at that for about 6 years now. We think we've got that recipe perfected, we're still trying to improve it. It's good.
I'm going out there today. I want to look at all the stuff you got.
All right.
We still got a little bit more time. What else you got in here?
We've got a jar of our Central Texas clover honey.
Hey, tell everybody what it takes to fill that bottle up.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. You know, while we're doing this, we need to sample here. Yeah.
Pays to be on this side of the microphone.
This is our peanut butter and honey. And so I'll let you be the judge. We make this fresh about every 2 weeks
in
the store.
That's freaking good, man. That is very good.
We've got a jar here, and everybody can dig in.
All right. That was good. You got to try that. Go to Walker Honey. I'm barely going to talk. It's so good.
There's so many bees involved in this quart of honey. I don't have the exact numbers, but a bee has to fly around the equator, the equivalency around the equator, to produce a teaspoonful of honey in her lifetime.
That's about 26,000 miles, I believe, if I'm correct.
And so a bee essentially lives until her wings wear out and she is of no more use to the hive. And she offs herself. It's a great little society they've got figured out there. And so there are literally thousands of bees give their life to produce this one jar of honey.
That's a lot of bees. If, look at this. Look at that jar, everybody, in the video. How many bees again?
Well into the thousands.
Thousands of bees took to make this bottle. And how many bottles do you sell a year? Incredible. It's incredible. You guys got it going, man. All right. Look, I got 3 minutes left. Let's play with two more minutes because the last minute I want to close it up. What do you want to talk about that I may have forgotten or missed that you need to get out there and talk about when it comes to honey?
Well, we just want to encourage people to connect with their beekeeper, whether that's us or someone else. We actually have started doing a once-a-month, what we call our bee-to-bottle tour, and we actually start in the beehive, and we go through our extraction process, and then we take folks into our bottling room, show them how we put the honey in the jar, take them into the cellar, show them how we turn honey into honey wine. This last time, when the weather's good and we can, we take them on out into our vineyard. We've got about 600 grapevines there on site, about an acre of vineyard.
Hey, Clint, not to cut you off, but let me ask you this. I've got a barn with a huge beehive in it,
right,
and I'm allergic. If I get bit or something happens to me, so I stay away from it. But that brings up the question, I would need to find somebody to neutralize it or take care of it. Do you provide services like that?
We don't do that as a service, but on our website at walkerhoneyfarm.com, people can go there, and we have a link to that, and we give them a listing of everyone in Central Texas that we know of. And if you're one of those people that does bee removal and we don't have you on our link, go send us an email. Tell us you do that. We'll put you on that site.
And the email again?
It's walkerhoneyfarm.com.
Very good. Okay. How much time I got, Paul?
A minute and a half.
Minute and a half. All right. 30 seconds. Close it up, and I'll do the final minute.
Sure. We would love for folks to come out and see us and experience it. Ask the questions. We have a very knowledgeable store staff. If they don't know the answer, they'll know it next week, and they'll tell you that. If you want to sign up for our newsletter and see what's going on the farm, go onto our website, walkerhoneyfarm.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter right there. And we don't pester you, but you'll get about a piece of mail every week or 10 days in your inbox, and that'll tell you when our farmers markets are coming up, when the next tour date is.
Very good. I'm going out there right after the show. I'll probably be there, I don't know, 2 o'clock or so. If you want to come out there, say hi to me. I'd love to meet you. Say hi to Clint. I believe you'll be out there too, right? Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, with that, another week has gone past. I look forward to speaking to everybody next week. And don't forget, we're going to be live, double show, 105.1 The Ranch FM at 10 o'clock and here at KTEM 1400 AM at 12 o'clock. Live remotes coming out of Wes's Burger Shack and more in Temple in Maine. Be sure to come on out, get something to eat, check it out, meet me and the staff and Wes. Talk to you soon. And until then, keep your powder dry and God bless.
Radio 1400 KTEM, serving Central Texas, KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.